thing is really building. It's, and it better build in my heart. And I'm going to tell you this. God is dealing with my faith. He's dealing in my heart. And I want you to capture this and lay hold of it. Because without faith, without believing him, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Could you imagine that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. No wonder in the scripture, in the New Testament, fear is put in the same category as adultery and drunkenness, as in sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to him must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm just giving you time to get to Mark 9. If you look in Mark 9, you're not going to find that, because that's Hebrews 11, 1 and Hebrews 11, 6. And that belief system, faith, is two things that everybody needs. Bless you. It's faith is a substance when you have nothing, and it's evidence in your favor when everything's against you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And you can put the title up there, guys, in a media group. Okay, put that up, at least the title. Thank you. And it's time right now that we need to believe God now for all things, little things and big things. Throughout this week, I've been talking with people that are going through difficult situations. Some, the biggest and hardest situations they've ever went through. And we've came to the conclusion, not in judgment, not because I was having to counsel them, is that many times tragedies seem to happen before we could exercise faith, which pleased God. And maybe, just maybe, if we start believing God for the things we already have and believe God for the little things, those tragedies could be postponed and maybe, I don't know about you, I like this, be nullified. Amen? Listen, it's time to believe God now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things gained. Faith is some things hoped for and evidence of things unseen. You can't see it. God brings it to pass. But now faith. It's now. It's faith now. Now, Mark, you got a chance to get there. Chapter 9, verse 17 through 23. This is a very interesting story. And it's very hard to try to point out a text many times because the stories run on. It's really against homiletical dissertation in your message to start with and or a then or verily, verily. But somewhere along the line, you got to start. But Jesus goes from one encounter with people to one story of healing and deliverance to another. And this is such a case. So instead of starting at verse 1, we'll start at verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him," the spirit behind that physical infirmity he was talking about, "it throws him down. He foams at his mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples." That's us. I believe this activity is happening all the time in heaven with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. In regards to us as Christians, as disciples, "I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't." We're living in a day and age, whether you want to deal with this or not, where people's going to give us one chance to show that our God is able. You're not going to have to say, "Excuse me," run away while I get my prayer closet. "Excuse me while I get my prayer a partner. Excuse me while I call into church for your tragic situation. I spoke to your disciples, but they couldn't cast it out. They couldn't do it." Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" In this case, it would only be a few weeks before he'd be crucified. "How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought this demonized person to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed. He fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Verse 21, so he asked his father, Jesus, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, oh, from childhood. And often he has thrown both, has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, it says on my watch, all things are possible if you believe. I love new Christians. I love Wednesday night. Amanda and David all excited came up to me. Amanda sells Avon. She goes, I got something for you, Pastor Renee. And this is the world catches on when God's doing something. You ever notice every year we have a theme? Like all of a sudden it becomes, I don't care what it is, a marketing thing. Because God speaks into the universe, and those with giftings, even the arts and industry and a marketplace, pick up on it, even though they have maybe unregenerated. And this watch is so encouraging. It says, has a big word, believe. And then it says, all things are possible to them to believe. See, I was going to, Monday morning, last Monday, I was building another message. And then Wednesday night after service, we get this watch, and I look at this, all things are possible to them to believe. And I said, the father said, sorry, son, you thought you're getting off easy 3 weeks in a row with an early message done by Monday. You're going to have to take some time now. So I built this message for people with like childlike faith that God is using to speak to all of us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree with you. If we can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Father, we are here week in and week out. I believe we have a year that could change our lives and our destiny and our legacy, because your word says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, even if there's measurable faith in the hearts of people, let it come to saving faith. Father, if there's savings faith here, which there is, majority here, saving faith, let it come and become great faith in the name of Jesus. Because we want to please you. We want to go through life's storms and be able to have the authority to say, peace be still. We want to be able to free our friends' children who are bound by demons and drugs, and to say, in the name of Jesus, come out of that family, come out of that person, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, listen, church, it's time to believe God right here, right now, for all things. This isn't just some cute letters here. This was born of the Spirit, August 29th, 2008, which happened to be my birthday when God gave me this theme for this year. Now he's moving. 2 years ago for Ask, it didn't come until late fall. On my birthday this last year, he gave me the theme for next year, and he's already given me the theme for 2010. You know what it is? You want to know what it is? Well, maybe at the right time we'll tell you. Hey Matt, it's possess. It's possess. You like that? All right, but you ain't going to possess until you believe. Amen. Okay, number one, how long have we believed the status quo? That's our problem. How long have you believed or become comfortable in what you believe? We build doctrines over it. We feel comfortable. We defend it. It's delivered to us. It's got us from point A to point B. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know in this world if it's going to get us to point C. Now, don't understand. I mean, understand, but don't confuse the issue of the things that are irrevocable, like God's word, the name of Jesus, the foundations, the ancient boundary stones. I'm not talking about that. Let's look at the text. Look what happened to the Father. Look what happens to you and I when we just seem to have to wait for something to come to pass. Remember when you were a new believer, all you had to do is go, ask. God rescued. Everybody came and changed our spiritual diaper and pinched our cheek, and you could do it. You're so cute in the Lord. And then after we're in this for a while, we go from asking to have to start seeking for ourselves. We start having to walk, and we get into much trouble. Somebody could assist us, and we ask, we seek, A, S, and K. And then we come to a place, God, where are you? We have to knock, knock on heaven's door. Was there a song like that years ago? I don't know. Got a flashback. Sorry. How long have we believed the status quo? You cannot, I cannot afford to believe the status quo. You cannot ever, ever again live in sloppy faith, in sloppy lifestyle. We cannot allow ourselves to have sloppy morals. We cannot allow ourselves to be easily offended, to be proud, to become bitter. Look what happened to this family so long. Verse 21 from our text, Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And I see the Father. I've read this a gazillion times. But the Lord showed me something that happens to all of us when we're going through something, whether it's with our family, our children, or we just have enough of busy emotional energy to love to a limit, to fix to a limit. He said, from his childhood. Somewhere along the line, up until the time that this man came to Jesus, I believe the status quo was allowed to inhabit his thinking. He was a product of his environment. He was a product of the religiosity of 400 years of no prophetic voice. He allowed himself to become laminated with just the status quo. Every day he would wake up, he'd see his son. Periodically, the enemy would like a puppet, would grab his son and maybe give him a day of peace. The next day, throw him into the fire. Throw him into the water. And I see it as I walk the streets in this city. I see it as I see the enemy periodically give people a little bit of relief. And then throw them into the fire of wrong choices and immorality and the false fire of lust or try to drown them in iniquity. And just to back off a little bit. If we're going to believe God for all good things, we simply have to appropriate the belief we have had that was either fruitless or pointed to the wrong things and start moving it to the right things. Thank God. He brought his son to Jesus. You hear what I said? Thank God he brought his son to Jesus. Now, it's a whole other message when he brought him to us. I'm going to put myself there. That's the disciples. You know, it's really easy to, even in our Christianity after a while, to move into status quo. And this is what happened with the disciples. We the man, we got the title, we're walking with Jesus. Oh yeah, that's great. We the man, all right, we the woman of faith, and all of a sudden somebody brings us somebody that's in over their eyeballs in sin, in over their eyeballs in addiction, in demonic activity. And the man brought his son to the church leaders, if you would, the disciples, the long ball hitters of the day, and they, because of the status quo, were very nostalgic. Knew how to look good next to Jesus. Couldn't help the man. And on God's watch, or this watch, I don't want to be that type of pastor. I don't be that type of a believer. I don't want this church to be that type of church in this county. See, at the new birth, we have a change of heart. But we must develop a changed mind for our faith to believe God for all good things and to go beyond our natural ability into God's supernatural resources that a living belief can penetrate and break through. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. My father used to tell me when I was little, he said, son, don't be a stinker, be a thinker. And my poor four kids, now I would never do it to my two girls, I always do it to my two boys. I said, I look at him, I go, don't be a stinker, be a thinker. They, poor kids, my kids have had to grow up with. It's just amazing. How long have we believed the status quo? Philippians 4, 6 through 7 and 8, 9 and 10. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. What does nothing mean? How about be anxious for the bills? No. How about be anxious because you're getting older? How about be anxious because of somebody in your family is not where they should be spiritually? Well, shouldn't we be anxious? No. Should we be anxious for something? No. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, we let our requests be known unto God. Why? Because we're part of a belief system that can move mountains, as we sang. That can bring springs of living water in the desert. That can bring healing when the doctor said, this is all I could do. That can give you relief when the bankruptcy or dial 1-800-FREE-CREDIT can bring. But by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be known to God. And then something happens. Now what's happening, our mind is coming into alignment with the new birth, our heart. See, our heart holds the measure of faith. But the reason why our faith goes beyond being static to mountain mover is because it gets lost in our mind. Be anxious for nothing. Now let's go on with the verse. Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, listen, will guard your hearts and your minds. The problem in the church today, we do have hearts to believe, but somewhere in that 18 inches from the heart to the mind, we allow the things of this world, or our religiosity of the past, our spiritual pride, or our sin to stymie that lifeline. And we stop thinking. Let me tell you, full gospel, Bible-believing Christianity does not nullify your mind. It renews it. It renews it. Doesn't leave things for happenstance, because Christ Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, this is how we have to saturate our mind. Whatsoever things are true. Let every man be a liar. I believe God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall remain forever. Whatsoever things are noble. You know, it's amazing. God could take any sinner who disgraced their life and give them a new chance, a new life, make you noble. But before it happens, we have to believe him. Whatsoever things are just, short for justice. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Listen, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, we're only allowed to meditate on a few things as Christians. We're allowed to meditate on the name of Jesus. We're allowed to meditate on good things from his word. And we're allowed to meditate on his word. Anything else is cultic and of Eastern mysticism, and don't allow your mind to meditate on the creation, but the creator. Don't allow your mind to just drift off so other people could come in and hypnotize you or do power of suggestion. Be careful. Don't meditate. Isn't it amazing how much faith we have to meditate on all the things that are wrong in our life or somebody else's? Oh, isn't that? Doesn't that just bring the fruit of what? Garbage. We meditate on the wrong things. We go over and over and over again. Oh, I wish I would. I'm going to set her straight. I'm going to set him straight. Or if they only knew her. Or what am I going to do? Honey, what are we going to do? Well, it's your fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. We meditate. And then the doors open to the tormentor. And we allow this to be the status quo in our life. And then we build a theology and a philosophy on all the wrong things. And we wonder why our faith is stymied and just something that we learn about once in a while. We never move beyond saving faith. How long have we believed the status quo? Listen, this works upon every rung of the ladder. Even if, let's dream. We're all at great faith. I'm looking at an auditorium full of great faith people. Well, guess what? That's not enough for tomorrow. Somewhere along the line, we have to continue never to allow where we are with Jesus, with our relationship upward, with our relationship towards humanity, with our relationship with each other, to become status quo. This is what happened in the scripture. We see this. The reason why things just stay in our heart for some precious believers their whole life and never moves to the mind, which sends messages to the feet and gives eyes to see that no one else sees, a mind to create and to visualize and prosper, because this is where we fall into, even in our spiritual walk with Christ. You're saying, well, if you're going to build something on the canon of Scripture, you've got to take a crimson line through the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, and more than one time in the Gospels and the Pauline Epistles, and I'll tell you, it's easy to do. You can see this from Genesis 1:1 to maps. That means beyond Revelation 22. We see this in the woman with the issue of blood. Didn't mean she liked it. Didn't mean this man liked it. Let's look at that. Mark 5, back up four chapters. Verse 25 through 26. You know the whole story of this woman. She had a female problem. She had a flow. It just never stopped. Mark 5, 25 and 26. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, since the kids are in kids' church, at least let me put it this way. And I say this with humility. Could you imagine? Ladies, a 12-year period. Some of you are getting nervous, some are smiling, some are holding back both. Let's just be real here. This poor lady. You got to understand the context of the first century in Jewish law, what that meant for her. It was hard. In the culture, she really was considered unclean, almost like a leper. She was locked in that 1 year. Well, maybe a month to 30 days, 2 months. She's talking to her mother. His mother's still alive. Mom, it's going on for 2 months. 3 months. We need to go to the priest. We've got to start positioning what we're doing in the house, the husband. Probably left because she wasn't going to bear children. A year. 3 years. You don't think that affects you? I've been to every hospital from the VA clinic in Jacksonville and Gainesville to hospitals all over the state. I just about know every hallway. I see people infirmed. 5 years. 8 years. 10 years. They say a man's or a woman's environment will affect their philosophy. I'm sure it did. 10 years, 11 years, 12 years. 12 years, then something has to happen because God has given us a measure of faith to move us. Sometimes it takes the tragedy. Sometimes it says, I don't need this now. But listen, we better never say, I don't need this now, because when that big thing comes, sometimes that's the only thing that allows us to be able to operate in true faith, savings faith, believing faith, healing faith, provisional faith, moral faith. We break through the chains of the status quo. I'm telling you, it's time to believe God now for all things. If we don't allow the little things become object lessons of how we're to live, it will be big things. Number two, assess and discern the situation. That's why in this church we have different things throughout the year. Times of prayer and fasting, the keep. The Feast of Tabernacles, announced times of prayer and fasting, different things in different times throughout the year, certain how to respond to the storms that hit the community physically and spiritually. What does this mean? Assess and discern the situation. We have to do that now. We can't put on the news and figure out what we must do because of what they're saying, because what they're doing is crazy. Something's not working. Let's put $1 trillion into it. Hello? You don't have to have an MBA in economics to find out that that's not working. Assess and discern a situation. Is it need a lifestyle change? Is this demonic? Is this a consequence of sin? You know, we always reap in a different season than we sow. We sow bad seed, we don't see it for a while. But guess what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Maybe it's wasteful living. Maybe it's complacentness. Maybe it's faithlessness. Or maybe it's my time for a miracle. We got to assess and discern the situation, and we see this in all the accounts. Let's look at the text, the first half of verse 22 from our text, Mark 9, 22. And often he has thrown himself into the fire and into the water to destroy him. This father, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I can't take my child. I can't take this thing taking my baby. No, I don't know. We've named him with a redemptive name. It's a family name. I can't believe this. I will not take it anymore. What's wrong? And so we start doing some things, and that's good. It's okay. Let's take him to these people to follow Jesus. We're not worthy. The centurion wasn't a believer. He goes, I'm not worthy to have you into my house, but just say the word. And Jesus said, right now your servant's being healed. And he looked at his own disciples and said, such faith I haven't seen in all Israel. Such belief I haven't seen in my own camp. And I'm going to tell you right there, they're going to leave us in the dust out there because they had it up to here and they want to believe. Same thing. You take a crimson thread, go back four chapters to the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. We see the same thing. Look at it with me, Mark 5, 27 and 28. When she heard about Jesus, she's assessed her situation. 12 years with the issue of blood. 12 years she spent all she had with every physician, getting warnings from the Jewish doctorates of the day, who were also the priest, of what she was allowed to do by the law with her condition, where she could go, even the intimacy with her husband. When she heard about Jesus, however, she came behind him. She's in a crowded street, and I've walked those streets in Israel. They're not streets, they're alleys. It was enough for her possibly to get stoned or at least embarrassed or rebuked. She walked behind him and touched his garment, for she said in verse 20, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, if your emotions are out of control, if the doctors have given you limits, if your bank has said this is where you are, this is the reality, somewhere along the line, we need to assess and discern the situation and then cry out like the blind man, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Is this demonic? Is this a time for repentance? Have I opened a door to sin? Have I lived a life of deception? I'm running out of time. I told you a story about a woman came to me two churches ago, and all her hands were like this, arthritis. She came up to me and says, listen, man of God, you're supposed to pray for me. You're the elder of a church. The Bible says you're going to anoint me with oil, and I'm going to get healed. And you know what? Normally I would just, yes. But I had to discern a situation, and the Holy Spirit, through a word of knowledge, says, I'm not going to heal her. Don't lay hands on her. She has unforgiveness to her sister. And I won't tolerate it, the Spirit of God said. And that was a whole lot younger. And I says, you have unforgiveness to your sister, and God said he won't tolerate it. Her eyes got this big. Then she wept. She goes, you're right. I said, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Make it right with your sister. And she did. I didn't have to lay hands on her. She started trembling. Her hands opened up for the first time in years. She was totally instantly healed without any drop of oil or laying hands on her. We have to assess and discern the situation that we're at right now as a nation, as a people, and even as a church. Number three, about believing God now for all things. We got to stop picking and choosing what we're going to believe God for. That's what I'm trying to say with this message. It won't work. All things, Jesus said. All things are possible to them that believe. Can't get too away from me until I wear it out. Number three, believe that God will do because he loves. Believe that God will because he loves. Not because you're going to muster up enough of faith. See, by now you have enough faith mustered up by this situation. I mean, let's just recap, okay? How long have we believed in the status quo? It takes a tragedy or a little irritation for us to start assessing and discerning the situation. And it's good. By now, you have more than enough faith if we, number three, believe that God will because he's motivated by love. He told Timothy, he goes, be faithful, Timothy. I'll do what I promise. But even if you're not, I will, because I will remain faithful, because as God, I can't deny myself. He can't deny his character. He does not lie. His promises are yes and amen. But we have to speak those things in our life, in our heart. We have to meditate on these things. It's not enough to have an emotional, evangelical, charismatic, believing heart, whatever the word is. It's not enough. Yes, with the heart man believeth in the righteous, but then faith, an agreement with God, an intellectual follow-up is imperative. I was actually arguing with the minister last week. He doesn't have Sunday school. Oh, we just have small groups. Whatever the person wants to do. I said, okay, well, listen. I go, listen, if you don't have life application classes, if you don't have a ongoing study, a systematic study, systematic theology, precept upon precept, adding to your faith virtue, what are you going to have in 10 years? The people don't know the difference that we're reaching between Noah and Moses. Ladies, you need to come together. Men, you need to come together. You need to have a life application class. We need to study and show ourselves approved unto God. Why? Our hearts are already born again of our believers. But our mind has to be renewed. We, according to Romans 12:2, are accountable to prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Not shallow, unbelieving, weed blown with every wind of doctrine, teaching. By now we have to understand it's God's good pleasure. He loves us. He's motivated by love. Second part of Mark 9:22. The man hits it. He hits a home run here. Jesus, if you could do anything, here's the word. Have compassion. Have compassion. Help us. Some of us got to break beyond the pride, break beyond the legalism, and cry out to God, help me. I know you love me. God is moved, yes, by faith, but then that faith has to understand that it's God is not an auger. He's just waiting for us to cry out to him because he's motivated by compassion. The man hit it here. Have compassion on us. He wasn't just saying, Lord, have compassion on me as a father. He wasn't just saying, have compassion on my son. He was saying, have compassion on us. And that's the reason why a second teaching here, we don't receive because we're selfish. We forget the plural pronouns that Jesus used, Paul used from throughout the New Testament. Have compassion on us, Lord. Their problems, my problem. That's what intercession is. It's crying out for a nation. It's crying out for a church. It's crying out for a family. It's carrying one another's burdens. Everything else is just phony baloney. It's just something you go to. You go to church. And you leave the same way you do. Oh, just care about me, Lord, my four, no more. Believe. Belief is not static, as I announced months ago. We're going to walk out this year. If you stick it out for a year in this place, God promised you your life, for the balance of your life and your legacy. I say this with humility, you'll be history makers. Believe that God will, because he loves. What's love got to do with it? Everything. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. It's compassion, but that the world through him would be saved. If you can believe God for salvation, how about healing? How about provision? How about family restoration? How about peace? How about all things? Listen, Matthew 7:11, Jesus speaking, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those of you who ask? Number four, believe God for all things, whether it's the mountain or the molehill. Sometimes you're forced to tackle a mountain because you've ignored the molehills. Well, I could take care of the molehills. Or sometimes we just deal with the molehills and that's all we think we can handle, and then we still have mountain situations. Listen, we got to believe God for all things, whether it's a molehill situation or a mountain situation. God will use both to balance us out. He'll allow us to deal with the molehills so he can prepare us for the mountains. Or if we ignore the molehills, he'll allow us to have to tackle the mountain situation. Mark 9:23 from our text, Jesus said to him, if you can believe all things, mountain or molehill, life or death, bad medical report, strong problems that have to finally be dealt with in a relationship, prodigal sons, daughters, all things possible. If I just believe. If you believe. Because this pleases God. It pleases God. When my kids please me, I'll just throw my wallet. Finally got my next little miracle car, a little Toyota. One of my kids says, Dad, my car is dangerous. It's not working. 2 weeks, I give him the keys to Toyota, and I'm driving in the death trap now. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. Pastor Carl, no, you and I got to work on Monday. See, if we learn to believe God for daily or little things, it'll be easier to believe him for the impossible. That's why we go through the things we go through. Sometimes that is the only time we call on him. It's the only time he hears from us. And he'll settle for it. As lovers, as parents, as spouses. Here I'm talking about parents, spouses. You'll settle for it, won't you? Sometimes it's the problem that you have a chance to be around people. But you'll settle for it. God will settle for it, though he deserves more. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. It takes both. Remember, our kids, we used to try to do this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Listen, in all our ways, the molehill, the mountain, all our ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He'll direct our path. Let's now decide now. to believe him for all things. We have to. In closing, the time to believe is now. Even if you have questions. Some people will go to hell because, well, I still don't have this question answered. I go, listen, accept Christ, trust him for the answer. He's God. I won't serve a holy God if I could snap my fingers and make him respond to me. That's why I tell people, neither will you. I tell this to humanists and atheists. I said, if he's going to come down to your level, how could you respect him? He's not God. He's God. You tell him, show me, I'll believe. He says, no, believe, then he'll show you. I've led more atheists to Christ that way. It's time to believe now, even if I have questions. Even if you have questions, you've done it your way. Your kid's still bound. Your relationship's still being thrown into the fire and the flood. You're still hurting yourself. You're still hurting other people. Why not believe? The time to believe is now. And then let me tell you what happens. Mark 9:24. Immediately. Immediately the father of the child cried out and says with tears, Lord, I believe. Here's the question. Help my unbelief. God could handle your questions. He just wants you to first believe. He could handle you saying, God, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand, God, why? God says, I'll tell you a new time. But trust me, son. Trust me, daughter. Trust me, wife. Trust me, son. Trust me, daughter. He could handle it. He'll deal with the questions in due time as we walk with him. Sometimes you just got to walk with people. You got to have a relationship. Then you need to get an understanding, don't you? And we think we can snap our fingers to a holy God or deny him, keep an arm's distance because we don't understand everything. You accept him, then you walk with him in the cool of the evening. And you see what kind of God he is. And you open up the word of God, he'll start answering those questions. And he could handle your unbelief. He could handle it. Same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5:29. The same word. Immediately. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately Jesus responded and he took that boy and he delivered him, gave him back to the Father. Whole. First things first. All it takes is the faith of a child.
Call him the Sky Angel Cowboy, the voice of a little boy who called a radio station to share a story and a lesson that God showed him, a message that has now captured the world's attention.
This is 13-year-old Logan Henderson. He lives on a ranch in the middle of Nebraska. Isolated from much of the world, he often listens to KSBJ Christian Radio out of Houston, Texas, which he picks up on Sky Angel. In late October, Logan made a call to the station that would soon be heard around the world.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I want you to stand.